been doing these standalone messages. We've kind of been in a series, out of a series. I've really thought we were going to be in a series back in February, but here we are in March, and we're still not in the series. We're kind of just going where God leads and guides. And so today's another standalone message. We're going to see what God does with it. I believe it's from Him, by Him, for us to encounter Him. And so I want to encourage you guys. Some of you may have been coming to church for a while. Is that true of any of you guys? Some of you guys have been coming to church more than once? All right, okay. Praise the Lord. Some of you have, some of it's your first time, okay? But what I want to encourage you with, because I see this happen in American society sometimes when we have come to church for a while. We hear something and we go, I've already heard that. I've already heard that. And we start to disengage. We start to tune out. I already heard that. Or maybe we go as far, I already know that. I already know that. I'm good. And we start to tune out. And what I want to push against is that is a consumer mindset. That's a consumer mindset. If I need something new, something fresh for me today, and what I want to encourage you is if you're coming to church, sometimes it is the first time you're hearing it. Praise the Lord. That's a good chance for you to learn it. But sometimes we've been to church a little bit and we hear something a second or third time, and what we need to be doing is applying it at that point. And maybe you've come to church and it's been like 5 or 6 or 7 times you've heard something, and now it's time for you to learn how to teach it. Learn how to teach it. See, if you've heard something and you've learned it, you've listened to it, some of you guys need to learn how to teach it now. Rather than tune out to a message you've heard before, start looking. How is he teaching it? How can I take that? How can I take someone out to coffee or a meal or have them over to my house? How can I start teaching this material now? Because if all we ever come to church for is just to try to receive something new, man, no one becomes a leader. No one goes out and influences the world around them. Our goal is not to just always deliver something, quote, new that you've never heard before. Our goal is to make you someone capable of going and teaching something and out-influencing the world around you. So I want to encourage you, if you go, I've heard these verses before, well, praise God, it means you've read the Bible. And now maybe it's time for you to learn how to teach it to people around you. So that's my challenge. Before I want us to open up, before I give the title of the message, we're going to read some Bible verses, okay? We're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, so you can open up the Bible app. You can open up your Bible if you brought it, or if you have neither, we're still going to put the verses up on the screen because we believe the Word of God is alive and it's active and it applies to our life today, and we don't want you to miss it. 1 John chapter 4, we're only going to read 3 verses. We're going to jump around a little bit. We're going to look at verses 4, 12, and 13 for the sake of time because as I was preparing this message, it was going quite long. Okay, and not everyone has come here for a long time, but when we get our own building, maybe some of you do want like a 2-hour Bible study, and praise God, maybe we'll do that at some point. I'm not going to hold you for a 2-hour Bible study today, maybe one day with snacks. We're going to look at 3 verses. I encourage you to go back and read all of 1 John, not just 1 John 4, all of 1 John this week. It's a great book of the Bible. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." And some of y'all may not hear another thing I say. That verse is going to stick in your heart. I encourage you, underline, write it, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Verse 12 says, "Now no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to its full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us." This was not the message I had planned on doing at all. But we're just stuck in the season of I keep thinking we're going to do something. And God just tells me, well, Philip, you're wrong. And I'm like, praise God. At least I'm still listening, I guess. And so we are going to dig into Holy Spirit more. And so I need somebody out there to listen because apparently God's trying to talk to you. And so you are here. I'm hoping you receive. The first thing that just always sticks out to me in this verse is that we're reminded that if we've given our life to Jesus, repented of our sins, declared Jesus as our Lord, Holy Spirit is sent into our life. And God has told us in his word here in 1 John 4 and other books of the Bible like Romans, that there's reasons in 1 Corinthians, that Galatians, all these books of the Bible, really the entire Bible, we should read it Genesis to Revelation, has told us he sent us Holy Spirit for a reason. But Holy Spirit, first and foremost, that's in us is greater than what's in this world. And you may have walked in here today and you're living in fear. You're living in fear. You look around at this world and it's overwhelming, it's overcoming. You're not really sure if there's any hope. And I'm here to tell you, 1 John says there's plenty of hope. 1 John 4 says the spirit that God has sent us is greater than anything we face out there in this world. But we don't always live like that. We don't always live like that, because what I've encountered in my 33 years now of life is that sometimes inside of American churches especially, the Trinity looks a little bit like this. We want to honor the Lord. We want to honor the Lord. We want to love Jesus and follow Jesus well, and we'll ignore Holy Spirit because we got it from here. And we ignore one third of the Trinity. And I'm going to tell you what, that grieves the entire Trinity. That grieves the entire Trinity. 1 John 4 says, I've sent you Holy Spirit, who's greater than who's in this world. And on top of that, when we will let Holy Spirit work in and through us, it's proof that we're living in the Lord and he's in us. Holy Spirit's designed to be a proof of what God is doing and is going to do through us. It's his full expression of love so that we can love one another. See, Holy Spirit doesn't just come into our life for just us. Holy Spirit does not come into our life for just us. It's actually for other people. So not only if we ignore Holy Spirit or kind of push Holy Spirit to the side, we're not just hurting ourselves. We're hurting the people around us. That God has sent Holy Spirit in our life to do something, to bring about something through our life. And I want us to look at this idea that Holy Spirit in us is greater than the spirit in this world. And so the title of the message is Feed the Beast. Feed the Beast. Because the spirit inside of you is greater than the spirit around us in this world. But some of us need to learn how to feed the beast. And so the first thing, if you want to be someone who feeds the beast, if you want to experience what 1 John 4 promised, that the spirit God has sent us that's in us is greater than the spirit in this world, the first thing to feed the beast is you've got to understand you are not the hero of the story. You are not the hero of the story, because when we read a verse like 1 John 4, if we start to step into it and go, the spirit that's within me is greater than the spirit of this world, one of the things, the first thing the enemy's going to try to do is get you to be prideful. He's going to get you to try to be prideful. I've got the spirit who's greater than anything I've faced. We walk in like we're freaking John Wayne to places. I mean, we're ready to roll. I mean, bring it on at this point. We're good to go. And what's in me is greater than what's in you. I'm always going to win. And we get to be a little bit proud. If you want to feed the beast of Holy Spirit inside of you, you have to have the mentality, I'm not the hero of the story. I'm not the hero of the story. I can tell you, this, you guys may be surprised, because sometimes rumors start about senior pastors that we work one day a week. And I don't know who starts that. Mike Baldwin's not here today. We always joke about that. I love you, Mike, if you're watching online. And that's the rumor, senior pastor. I'm going to tell you, some senior pastors maybe do that. I don't. My story as a senior pastor, I get called into sometimes meetings where someone's really super sick, or their marriage is falling apart, or they're dealing with sins or addictions, these really hard moments, and I get called into them, and these people would like to have something encouraging happen. They'd like to hear something different than what's going on in their life. And this, there's an immense pressure I used to put on myself going into these moments. I would go, God, I need something from you to help with this moment. I need to do something to deliver this moment. I need to make a difference in this moment. And I was driving to this one situation where I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. Lord, help me. And his response was, Philip, you're not the hero. You're not the hero, Philip. And as I was driving that car, it was like peace flooded that car. And that truth just hit my heart. When I head into moments as a pastor, I'm not the hero. I'm not the hero, but the one God has sent to live inside of me, Holy Spirit, can make a difference that moment if I'll get out of the way. If I'll get out of the way, I will walk in a room with Holy Spirit inside of me who can make a difference in that moment, but I, on my own, am not the hero of the story. And if you want to feed the beast, if you want to be that person that God is working in and through to make a difference, to bring the full expression of his love to this world, you are not the hero of the story. The second thing we've got to do is understand the fruit cycle. If you want to feed the beast, the second thing you've got to understand is the fruit cycle. And it's going to come from maybe somehow, if you can, have an overquoted verse in the Bible at a church, Galatians chapter 5. If you've been at Vertical a long time, there's two things I really like to talk about. The Old Testament, I really three. Old Testament, Jesus, and Galatians 5 is probably the running joke inside of our church. But Galatians 5 is something we have to understand if we're going to be the fullness of what God is calling us to be in this world. Because you and I get one shot at this life. I don't know if you know that. We get one shot at this life. And Galatians 5 tells us what that life should look like. It's a great verse to understand. If you go, I want to live how Jesus has called me to, Galatians 5 is a great place to start. But we're going to look at the fruit cycle. Because there's actually two different cycles that go on. One of them not so good. The other one is what we're going for. Galatians chapter 5 starts in verse 16 by saying, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These are two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are no longer under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Man, sometimes in church, we don't really like to talk about those verses. That doesn't sound very like exciting. That doesn't sound very hoorah. But Paul's like, apparently he's in this text, he's telling the Galatians again, I've got to tell you something I've already told you before. If this is the kind of fruit your life is producing, things like lustful pleasures, things like idolatry, things like outbursts of anger, that's what the fruit of your life is producing. Paul's trying to tell you, you're not living according to the Spirit. You're not living according to the Spirit. It's why you could go to church for 25 years and the fruit you produce in your life is actually fruit of the flesh. It's not of the Spirit. And that can happen to some of us. It's why some people don't want to come to church. They meet a, quote, Christian, and the fruit that's given to them is bitter as all get out. All they can experience is idolatry or lustful pleasures. And the enemy has done something very clever. The enemy's done something super clever in our society. And he's helped people believe that your sin is your identity. He's helped people believe your sin is your identity. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. You see, I think when we read things like sin, we have to understand sin because then we'll never understand grace if we don't. If we understand sin, we have a chance to understand the grace of God, but they go together. That's why we read the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation. And so if your life is producing, if you're reading this list and you're like, man, I'm ticking way too many boxes. I've got a lot of envy in my life, or I've got a lot of idolatry in my life. I got a lot of fruit that's being produced in my life that lines up with what those verses are talking about. I've got good news. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. See, the Lord looks down and he saw humanity, and that's all we were producing. That's all we were producing was fruit like this, because that's of our flesh. I'm here to tell you, some of you need to take a weight off yourself. I work with Christians from time to time. I don't know if you know that as a pastor. From time to time, I do work with Christians. And after we get saved and we start trying to follow the Lord, this horrific thing happens to people. We sometimes still deal with the same temptations we used to. We still deal with some of the same temptations we used to, and it's mind-boggling for people. I thought all this was going to go away. I thought I would never do anything like that again. I thought I was going to be perfect. But Galatians 5 tells us your flesh and the Spirit that now lives inside of you, if you are a Christ follower, are constantly at war with each other. You should not be surprised by the temptations that go on in your life. You have an enemy that wants you to produce fruit of your flesh. If you start living your life and you start seeing, man, I'm really strong with envy or jealousy or lustful pleasures I'm just kind of seeking or idolatry, these things start birthing in our life, that's a sign that the enemy has gotten in and is messing with you. He's trying to bring about things that are going to take you away from the Lord. He always wants to bring about fruit like this. And see, here's the problem. This is the cycle with sin, is we commit a sin. Maybe we feel kind of bad about it. And then once we feel bad about it, we kind of get shame or guilt going on in our life. And once we have shame or guilt, it kind of drives us into isolation because we feel real bad about it. And then once we're isolated, sin comes about again through temptation and we sin. And then it just starts all the way over again. And we get trapped in this sin cycle. And that sin cycle births fruit like what we just read about. And so if you look at your life and you're kind of trapped in this same cycle of producing the same fruit over and over, that's a good sign that you're not feeding the beast. You're feeding your flesh. You're not feeding the beast. You're feeding your flesh. But the Lord looked down and he saw that's the fruit humanity is producing and says, I'm going to give them a different option. A different option. And then through Jesus coming, dying on the cross, rising again, ascending back to heaven, he says, I'm going to send you Holy Spirit, who's going to be the one who tells you what the Father is saying and helps you bring about the full expression of love of what I'm trying to do in this world despite the darkness that's going on. I want you to write down, you can't let a guide lead if you don't listen. You can't let a guide lead if you don't listen, because the first thing it says in Galatians 5 is, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. But you can't let a guide lead if you don't listen. It'd be like signing up to take some kind of historical tour through Washington, D.C. You get a nice guide that's delivered to you. This guide knows all the places you need to be. You show up, they start going to talk about the first place you're going to go, and go, oh, no, I actually got it from here. I'm good. I've just arrived in Washington, D.C. I know it's a state. I know there's history here. I've got it from here. And it's a ridiculous sounding example, but that's how you and I may live our life, is we realize, oh my gosh, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. We give our life to Jesus. And then Jesus sends down Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And we go, I've got it from here. I'm good. I'm going to figure out how to be a really moral person on my own. I don't need Holy Spirit to work in and through me. But look what verse 22 says in Galatians 5. Verse 22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. I mean, Paul's writing this because that's what the church at the time is dealing with. And those same things can be things we deal with. You may have been part of a church where you got hurt because some of that stuff was happening. But Paul says it doesn't have to be that way. Paul says Holy Spirit's in center of life, that we can birth different fruit. You don't have to stay in the sin cycle, producing fruits of your flesh. You can be in the Spirit cycle. And when you're in the Spirit cycle, you produce different fruit. You produce fruit of Holy Spirit. And I can tell you exactly how I judge people. I don't judge people by how long they've been going to church. I don't judge people by their actions or job title or money or any of that. When I'm learning or not, whether or not I can keep trusting somebody, I look at the fruit. I look at the fruit. Because you can only fake fruit for so long. You can only fake fruit for so long. And before long, you'll produce the real fruit of your soul. And it may be Holy Spirit. You may produce love, joy, peace, or you may produce idolatry, lustful pleasures, envy. At some point, someone's going to show their true fruit. And so I want to ask today, which cycle are you a part of? Are you trapped in a sin cycle and you need the Lord to come work in your life? Or are you in the Spirit cycle and you need to keep feeding the beast? You need to keep going, because that fruit's not just for us. peace in our life is not just for us. Love in our life is not just for us. What did 1 John 4 say? It was for others as well. Other people are going to experience the fruit in our life. And it's either going to be part of the sin cycle from the enemy or from Holy Spirit. What fruit is being produced in your life? And then it says something really big, and you may not have heard anything I'm saying because you read this verse, verse 24. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. I want to be honest. My experience with church sometimes has been Christians are notorious for being selective in the stuff we'll nail to the cross. We've gotten real selective in what we'll nail to the cross. You know, as Christians, we may be willing to nail, like, homosexuality, nail it to the cross, but don't talk to me about my gluttony. Man, we'll nail our envy to the cross, but at the same time, don't talk to me about my gossip. We'll nail stuff to the cross, especially if it's not what we deal with. But as soon as we deal with something, we become the best salesperson ever of why this really doesn't need to get nailed to the cross, why this is okay, or maybe we believe what the enemy's told us, I can't nail this to the cross because it's who I am. It's part of my identity. It's okay. See, the world celebrates what was in Galatians 5. The world's kind of getting to the point where it celebrates the fruit of our flesh. It tells us not only is it okay, it's worth celebrating. Celebrate your lustful passions. Celebrate your idolatry. Celebrate those things. They're good. But Galatians 5 says something at the end of it. It says, if you live your life and produce that fruit consistently, do not expect to inherit the kingdom of God. Don't expect to inherit the kingdom of God if you want to sow into your flesh. And that's why we have to talk about stuff like this, because you don't have to stay trapped in that sin cycle. Some of you may realize, man, I've been believing some of the stuff the enemy has been telling me. I've been believing the enemy who's been telling me about my envy or my outbursts of anger or my idolatry, that I can just kind of hold on to it. And it's just who I am. It's always going to be where I'm at. I can't have anything different. That's a lie. The Lord offers us Holy Spirit who can give us a different cycle, and it's from Holy Spirit, but it's not in our own strength. Because remember, point one, we're not the hero of the story. We cannot break the sin cycle on our own. It's only going to be through Jesus who sends us Holy Spirit. And so you may be reading those two lists, and I want to ask, which fruit cycle are you a part of? Is your life producing fruits of the flesh, or is it producing fruits of Holy Spirit? Because those are the only two options. Where are you at today? And you may have been coming to church a long time. You may have been a Christian a long time, and you now are realizing, my gosh, somewhere the enemy's got in my life and is helping produce fruit of the flesh. And it just has clicked with you reading the list. There's something that the enemy's bringing about in my life that's not what God wants for me. That's not God's best for me. And thank goodness for the grace of God who says, I offer forgiveness today if you'll repent. I offer forgiveness today if you repent. We don't have to try to go be good enough to receive forgiveness. The third thing, if we want to feed the beast, maybe you're crushing it. You're like, man, Phil, I'm 2 out of 2. I'm like, you know, looking to be the next valedictorian when it comes to Holy Spirit. I know I'm not the hero of the story. I am in the fruit cycle for Holy Spirit. I'm in the spirit cycle. I'm good. Point number three, if you want to feed the beast, if you want to be someone who feeds the beast, this is what you have to do. Point your gifts away. Point your gifts away. Because your experience may have been with Christians, you're like, man, I've met people and they produce fruit. They've got all these kind of great gifts. But somewhere along the way, the gifts they're given start to point inward. Have you ever met somebody like that? Maybe they've got the gift of teaching, and before long, it kind of really becomes about them. And they start trying to slowly build a platform for themselves. Or maybe someone's got the gift of hospitality, and they always start bringing everybody over, and before you know it, they kind of are using that gift to manipulate or draw people or make them do things they want. Or maybe you've got the gift of wisdom, and you start using that gift to make people really look up to you and make sure they think you are the hero of the story. See, but we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12 here, and I encourage you, you know, because I'm just giving out homework left and right apparently this week. You know, I want you to go read like 1 John, and if you get through that, go read Galatians 5. And then if you get done with that, go read 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. But, I mean, I'm not going to apologize. I think reading the Bible is really good for our life. So rock it this week. Get after it. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us this. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but in the same God who does the work in all of us. It's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can, underline this, help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, or your verse may say tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And man, if you want to feed the beast, you cannot take a gift that God gives you and point it into yourself. You cannot take a gift God gives you and point it into yourself, because what does verse 7 tell us? Verse 7 tells us the gifts are given to help each other. If we're really called to feed the beast, if Holy Spirit has really been sent to us to help us be the full expression of God's love, if Holy Spirit's really been sent to us to help us birth fruit that's different than what our flesh will produce, if Holy Spirit has been sent for each and every last one of us who follows Jesus to have a gift, is to help each other. If we're ever going to be a healthy church, we have to, one, acknowledge Holy Spirit's been sent, acknowledge that we need to produce good fruit. We need to acknowledge that we're not the hero of the story, and we need to acknowledge I've been given a gift to help other people follow Jesus. And you may be sitting there and you go, I don't know that I know my gift. And I'm not here to condemn you at all. I'm here to encourage you. It's time for you to start seeking Holy Spirit, to listen like Galatians 5 is telling us. Holy Spirit's the one who gives the gift. Pastor Phil doesn't. You don't join Vertical Church or something and you show up to a meeting and I'm like, I will bestow this gift upon you. May the Lord bless. That's not how it works. It says there's one Spirit and He alone is the one who gives the gifts. I don't pick. You don't pick. It's Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit looks at your life and says, I'm going to give you this so that you can help other people. Because here's the reality of following Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about what can I now do to serve the Lord? What can I do to bring honor and glory to His name? And if we want to bring honor to the Lord, if we want to serve and love Jesus well, we have to believe the gift He's given us and then use it to honor the Lord and not ourselves. And maybe somewhere along the lines, the enemy's got in and you know your gift, and the enemy's tried to tell you that gift makes you better than other people. That gift makes you more spiritual than other people. That gift means you're one of the better Christians. That's not what 1 Corinthians says at all. 1 Corinthians says you were given that gift by the one Spirit who works in different kinds of ways and is to help other people. And maybe you realize, I knew I'm not the hero of the story. Maybe you are in the Spirit cycle and producing kind of good fruit, but maybe you've let the enemy sink in and think the gift you've been given is really maybe for you, maybe makes you better than other people, and you're not using it to help others glorify the Lord. We were never, ever given Holy Spirit or gifts of the Spirit for ourselves. It was to honor the Lord. And as we close out, if the worship team wants to come back up, I want to ask, what is it that you've nailed to the cross? I want to ask, what is it that you have nailed to the cross? Is it only the sins you think should be up there? Have you taken things that you maybe even struggle with and nailed it to the cross? Because if you come in today, maybe you realize you're struggling with something. And that's why Holy Spirit has been sent to us, is because we will not overcome our flesh on our own. We won't. Maybe you've come in here today and you realize you have been trying to follow Jesus on your own. You've been trying to do it in your own strength. I'm here to tell you that's one of the reasons churches are supposed to exist, is to help you follow Jesus. You're not supposed to do it on your own. And if you come in here and you are struggling with sin and you're trying to overcome, I want to encourage you, this is a great place to get involved. I'd encourage you to go find one of our community groups. Our community groups love the Lord. They want to help you understand the Bible. They want to lead you to live a life that honors and glorifies the Lord. But we've got to listen to our guide. I think some of us have been tempted to grieve part of the Trinity by saying, I want to glorify the Lord. I want to love and follow Jesus. But Holy Spirit, I've got it from here. Can you imagine what Holy Spirit feels when he's sent to help us accomplish the plans the Lord has for us? And for us to say, I don't need that kind of fruit. I don't need that gift. I've got it from here. If we want to be people who bring about the full expression of God's love, we have to follow his plan and his ways. And so as we close out, I want to ask, what's your relationship with Holy Spirit like? Is Holy Spirit really the guide in your life helping produce fruits of the Spirit? Is Holy Spirit the one that you're trying to grow the gift that God has given you to help other people and bring honor to the Lord? Or something gotten off along the way? And maybe you realize you've grieved Holy Spirit by not interacting with Holy Spirit at all. And today's the day you can ask, Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry. If the Lord has sent you into my life to help me be everything he's planned for me to be, then I do want to know you. I do want to be led by you. I don't want to do this on my own. I don't want to try to follow Jesus in my own strength. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, so that I may bring honor to the Lord and help those around me, to love those around me. Maybe you've come today and you've never given your life to Jesus. Today's a great day for that to happen. If our prayer team would just come up over here on the side, I'm going to be down over here. Hiwassee, if you can send one of your prayer leaders to the back. Maybe you've come in today and you just would like somebody to encourage you. You're like, Philip, I didn't even listen to the message, to be honest, but I do need encouragement. I'm having a hard time with some stuff in my life. Or maybe your heart's really burdened for a family member or a friend that's not following the Lord, and you're just like, I would like somebody to pray with me for this person to come to know Jesus. We'd love to do that. But as we close out, I do have the one question. What does your relationship with Holy Spirit look like? Have you been embracing what God wants to do in and through you to bring him honor and glory? Or have you grieved this Holy Spirit by pushing him away? Because I do want to encourage us to be people who feed the beast. Because the spirit that is within us is greater than that in the world. But we've got to trust Holy Spirit to do that, not ourselves. So Lord, I close this out. I ask that you lead us, that you guide us. Holy Spirit, you work in and through us to produce good fruit. Holy Spirit, work in and through us that we may use the gift you give us to honor and glorify you, Lord. May we be people who don't try to just figure it all out ourselves, but will trust in your word. because, Jesus, we want to honor you. In your name we pray. Amen.